right, my talkers, we're almost to Friday, but no worry. Lori and Julia are here to bring you to the night. We've got all kinds of great stuff coming up this hour. Theories, we've got some Hollywood news and a dirt alert for you. But let's sit back and hang out with Lori and Julia.
All right, let's do it. So, we're going to start with this little story first. So this is kind of just, it made me laugh. So the movie Licorice Pizza.
Yes, has the greatest name. Yes. Whatever it means, I'm all in.
It's Paul Thomas Anderson. He's married to Maya Rudolph. Yes. He gave us Boogie Nights. Oh, he gave us the other one with Tom Cruise in it. The
Pulp Fiction, Magnolia.
Magnolia, makes interesting, you know, movies. And so this is his latest project. And someone has a fun cameo in it, and that would be Leonardo DiCaprio's father, George DiCaprio.
Oh.
Has a cameo in Licorice Pizza. He portrays a waterbed salesman in this comedy drama, which is featuring also Philip Seymour Hoffman's son in the leading role.
Oh, wow.
So Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, he said, I created a picture of a guy who owned a wig shop that sold waterbeds. And I couldn't figure out, why do I have this specific vision of this guy, you know? And then like a bolt of lightning, I remember Leonardo's dad looks like him. So I tracked him down and asked George, hey, would you be in it? And he said, sure. When I explained the scenario to him, he said, sounds great. Did Leo tell you that I owned a waterbed company back in the day and it was called Foggy Bottom?
Okay, hysterical.
And so Cooper Hoffman is in it. That's Philip Seymour Hoffman's. It's getting rave reviews, and it opened in small release last Friday. So okay. I don't know where it's playing here or whatever, but Sean Penn is in it. Bradley Cooper has a part in it. And of course, Leo has never worked with Paul Thomas Anderson, although he was in the running to play Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights.
Oh, interesting. He was?
He turned down the role so he could be Jack in Titanic.
And that was
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
So and perfectly cast both sides.
Both ways.
Yes, because I can't see Leo as Dirk Diggler.
No.
Isn't it funny
how... baby face.
Yeah.
That would
have been horrible because that is such a...
iconic.
Sexual
figure. Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg had a little more... He has more sass.
Yeah, for sure.
He has more sass than the other one, 100%.
So, anyway, I like that. Yeah, Foggy Bottom.
And I know.
You know, the other news yesterday that was coming out of Hollywood, and we didn't talk about it or bring it up. We were kind of waiting for more information, and we learned about it from Roger Friedman at Showbiz 411 and then talked to our friend Tanya Hart. But this music mogul, not a lot of people will know his name unless you're in the business or if you watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A couple weeks ago, he was inducted, Clarence Avant, and there's a Netflix documentary about him called The Black Godfather, and what an influential, he's still alive and everything, 90-year-old guy, and on Monday night, he lives in like one, probably it's called Troutdale Estates, it's part of Beverly Hills, very, very fancy area. Mm-hmm. There was a home invasion, and his wife, who's 81, Jacqueline, was shot and killed.
And it's so tragic.
Shook all of Hollywood. I mean, Obama released a statement about it. He's in the documentary. I mean, they knew everybody in this.
Right.
And they'd just been inducted. And I guess she was like the loveliest woman and a huge philanthropist. And
who shoots an 81-year-old woman?
That's exactly right. And what Tanya said was that, you know, it was like there's been all these smash and grab home invasions. I mean, Dorit Hemsley.
I mean, and she was home with her two kids, too.
And she begged the guys not to kill her.
Yes.
And they've arrested. It was front page of the LA Times because apparently Clarence and Jacqueline are loved, very well known in LA and everything, but Clarence was like the Black Godfather. I mean, we watched the trailer for it yesterday, and people are just heart sick. about it, but they've arrested the guy.
Because he shot himself in the foot during the process.
Yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. So
there's something about car thefts. There's something about home invasions right now. People just really, people are just, please be careful.
Oh, I know. Because if you, I mean, this is just such a...
It's tragic.
It's just such a terrible thing. And I mean, their daughter is married to Ted Sarandos, who's the head of Netflix,
right.
Who you're mad at,
who just raised the prices. $10.
Oh. Yeah. And their son is a big agent at CAA. So they're all kind of in the business. Yeah. And
So sad.
But it made me want to watch this, The Black Godfather on Netflix about this guy's career, because he just got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But yeah, they've arrested these guys. But, Roger Friedman and Tanya Hart and other people, you know, that are, you know, covering L.A., Hollywood, right out there, just said the whole town is shook. Everybody knew them.
Absolutely sad.
Yeah.
You know, we got an email, because right before we were talking about this, we were talking about the licorice pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an email from Jill, and she wanted us to know, and I did read this, but I forgot. A long time ago, there was a record store called Licorice Pizza, and they called it that because the 12-inch black vinyl LPs look like black licorice and a pizza.
That's cool.
Isn't that something? Yeah. So the movie might be something about record stores and music.
Yeah. And wasn't there a place called the Licorice Pizza on Sunset?
This is what she's saying. It was in LA.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, thanks, Joe, for letting us know that. And then another woman wanted us to know, if she hears us say the yips again, she's going to go crazy.
Why?
I don't know. Yips. If you guys say this one more time, I just made me laugh.
Yeah.
So I just burst out laughing. Well, we've got, you know, Jason. Well,
I got to want to just remind you, Sandra Bullock was at home when burglars entered her place, and she hid in a closet. And in some of her interviews.
Anything more?
Yeah, she said that she's never been alone since that home invasion.
Women, a couple of them have had stalkers. We've heard.
Well, this was a burglar.
Yeah, this was a burglar.
Yep. This was somebody, and this unarmed intruder entered her Bel Air home. And Louie happened to be with the nanny that night, because she and her guy were, or she was.
I don't know how you get over that.
Yeah,
I mean, think of Kim Kardashian getting taped and put in a bathtub in Paris.
Yeah.
And Dorit begging them, don't kill my children, please. I mean,
I'm sure that house is up for sale, but that was the weirdest house in Hollywood that I ever saw. Yeah. You know, if you watch that show, it was like on top of a driveway.
On top of a driveway.
On top of a very busy, curvy street.
We've got big news, because Jason Matheson made the newspaper today for yet another thing. But remember when we did our broadcast at Lush?
Oh, love that place.
Drag bingo?
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah, and before but it's it was been Lush, closed for a while.
Yeah, before it was Lush, what was it? Boom.
Boom. No, what? No, you're thinking it's a different, that's
it's a different location. You're right.
Yes.
Well, Jason and a team of people are going to be reopening it this month, and his Betty and Earl's biscuits and their menu is going to be there.
Oh,
so
good.
He's very excited. So, this is a fun, I loved that place.
Lush is like in the middle, like there's two streets on either side of it. Yeah.
Like in Northeast.
Yeah.
Central Avenue, and then this other.
It's straight up from the old Boom.
Yeah. It's so anyway.
It's great space.
Yes, it is. So congrats to Jason and his empire.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is. Now, while you're going to, I know you're playing tennis tonight and you DVR'd
Annie. At 9 o'clock.
I know. Would you like to vent about it right now?
Oh, it's so late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really kind of nervous because I'm playing up a level two.
Oh, you're going to be great.
No, I don't know.
Yes, you are.
Mm. You're going to be great. I used to bowl on a bowling league that started at 9 with the old ladies at Elsie's.
28?
Oh, no, they were all in their 70s. And yeah, I was like 25.
Yeah, it's easier when
And I was so impressed, though, because all these ladies were in their 70s and they were chain smokers and drinking their old Milwaukees. And I just remember thinking, I hope I like that.
Can't do that while you play tennis.
Yeah.
You can't smoke or drink.
Well, that's why sometimes people like bowling. Although the smoking, no more anymore. Right. But they used to pound the nails there, my gosh. But right. I am going to watch the Alec Baldwin, George Stephanopoulos interview. I'm very curious to see, because I don't consider that horrible roadside chat that he had with the paparazzis in Vermont to be a publicist's suggestion of a good idea.
No, I know.
So this is, I'm calling it his first official interview. And 6 weeks after the
Fatal accident. And the set of the movie in New Mexico.
Yeah, and he, of course, everyone is just like, how can he say, yes, he was holding the gun, but he never pulled the trigger, is what he's going to tell him. So anyway, it was a huge shock. And I'm like, what kind of a pistol has a praying mantis? Like, you can just brush it. And I hope George asks him, is this the same gun that went off a couple times on the weekend?
That'd be a great question.
It's interesting because everyone has their own production companies, because everyone has their own production company, because that's how you can control it.
I mean, if Alec is telling the truth and his knuckle never bent.
Mm-hmm.
Bent and pulled the trigger, then this is the most fakakta gun situation I've ever heard of. An old, dusty, rusty gun shouldn't have had a bullet inside, and it did, and one that fired out of the blue without any touching. You know,
it's terrible.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess apparently ABC News is reporting that a new search warrant was authorized to search an Albuquerque prop house.
Okay.
And that investigators believe they have discovered the source of where that bullet came from, because apparently bullets are traceable, you know, whole lot.
We always see them in a murder crime scene, try to find the bullet and get it from the tree or.
Yeah.
Where's the bullet? Because they can,
Yeah, they can do all that. So anyway,
I think it'll be compelling TV, and I
believe, in just looking at the trailer, I totally believe him.
Well, there's nothing not to believe, but...
No, but I believe him when he says it's the worst thing that ever happened to me, because he is going to have to live for the rest of his life with this. And, you know, maybe he'll do something good and lobby for zero tolerance for any ammunition on the set or something like that. I mean, it's a horrible accident to have to live with. Yeah. All right, listen, we come back. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Graham, what kind of dirty dirt did you scratch up? Because I know we haven't touched it all.
That's true. We've got some fun stuff to talk about today, you guys. Well, Cardi B is in the news again for the last couple days, actually. She keeps building up her empire. On Wednesday, you guys, I don't know if you heard about this, but she launched out, and it sold out right away, her vodka-infused whip shots. They're whipped cream shots. And they sold out the minute they were released.
Remember, someone else did this. Alcohol infused whipped creams a couple years ago, and they sold out right away too. Mm-hmm. But this is why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not it, you guys. Thursday, she announced some big news. She's taking on a big role at Playboy. So the very next day, she took to Instagram to say that she has been named the first ever creative director in residence at the iconic nude publication Playboy. But it doesn't stop there. She will also be the founding creative director and founding member of the creator-led platform from Playboy called Centerfold.
She's in charge of the Centerfolds?
No. Oh. So this is where it's you know how like OnlyFans has come on, all these social media platforms where people can express themselves in sexual ways or whatever and make money. From what I gathered, it sounds like Playboy is going to create their own online platform called Centerfold, where creative influencers,
stage people in centerfold positions.
Exactly. So they're making like a digital centerfold where you can go do your own centerfold and not necessarily have to be a part of Playboy.
Well, Cardi B just tweeted a half hour ago because somebody suggested to her, I'd love to see an XXL freshman class style group cover giving the artists their own blah, blah, blah. And she said, that's cool, but that's not the direction I'm going. Sometimes we'll be putting models on the covers. I want the old Playboy in caps.
Yes.
I want sexy fantasy, a world of beauty and imagination. So that's where Cardi's thinking, y'all.
Yeah. She's got, I mean, it's great ideas. Mm. It sounds like it's going to work out great for Playboy. And
you know, if anyone needs to know.
I love her.
I have the Farrah Fawcett Playboy.
How much do you think that's worth, Grant? Because you're a collector.
Hey, you know, depending on condition, but it could be worth probably $100.
Yeah. No, I just have it. When my stepfather died, he had such a great collection. And I was like, I'm taking the Farrah. It was some kind of an anniversary cover.
Was she even naked?
Oh my word. Yes. I'll bring it in and show it to you. It's really good. And there's a really good interview with somebody in that issue. I'll bring it in. I know right where it is. I have it in a real convenient spot.
Love it. Well, this sounds great for Playboy, for Cardi B, because if you're going to have anybody that's animated like her kind of cover this, that's.
Well, look at old Cooper Hefner.
Yeah.
Reaching out.
Yeah. He's expanding the empire, doing a good job with that.
Because it really.
There's no magazine. There's no magazine,
and they really needed to figure out a way to evolve.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that was their, you know, so good for them.
Yeah. This is a big deal for Playboy. Well, now this is interesting, you guys. I know there's been a lot of hoopla and a lot of hype around the Adele concert. Well, Seth Rogen, as we all know,
was in the crowd.
Who was in the crowd?
Like he was having a blast
for the Adele special.
For the Adele special, apparently it has come out that he had no idea that the Adele concert was being taped for the One Night Only special.
I believe that.
And he and his wife got so stoned that they were paranoid throughout the whole thing that they were going to embarrass themselves. But it gets better, you guys. So he comes in that night. They think they're just going to go to this, you know, Adele concert. It's going to be nothing. But then they see all the cameras and the drones, and he starts freaking out because.
I mean, does Seth Rogen go to the Griffith Observatory for concerts?
No, he was invited.
But I'm just saying, like that in and of itself, going to Griffith Observatory, I don't know that they have a lot of concerts there. It's not like the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like I said, they had a little fun, little pregame party where
they always do.
Every day, all day long. But this is the funny part. So he's thinking like, all right, well, we'll be able to go in the back and just hide, right?
Yeah,
like, nope, not at all. First row, A and B, seat A and B, in front of Leonardo DiCaprio, in front of all these. Yeah. He's thinking, what am I doing right now, standing up in front of all these people in the front row at this Adele concert?
That's funny.
That still had to be one of the best invites to brag about.
Yeah,
in La La Land.
Sure. And so he was on, I believe it was Jimmy Fallon last night.
Yes, he was.
And he was asked by Jimmy, like, so how did this happen? When asked if he even knew Adele, and Seth answered, no, I don't know Adele. And if Adele, you're watching this, why did you do that?
Why did you invite me
and put me in the front
row? Because she said at the beginning of that, these are all people that I know or friends of people that I know.
So I can feel comfortable because I haven't been in front of a live audience and I want to be around a supportive group of people.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be around a bunch of supportive people for those 16 weekends. She's in Vegas.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So that's a little fun story for Seth Rogen. And then finally, we'll see if we have more time. But this one you brought to my attention. This is big news for, you know, everybody that are up against tabloids. Meghan Markle has won her lawsuit against a publisher that she, you know, that released the letter.
The Daily Mail, it was upheld. They appealed, right? They appealed.
Yes. It's all over the letter that they published, the private letter that she wrote to her dad, and her dad sold to them, and then they published it.
Yeah. So they didn't like that they were found guilty of doing the wrong thing. They appealed, and then the judge found on the side of Meghan again.
Yeah, and they said that the Duchess had a reasonable expectation of privacy in the contents of the letter. Those contents were personal, private, and not matters of legitimate public interest.
Oh, now, Piers Morgan has already written a thing about how selfish she was to even fight the appeal.
He needs to go away.
Yeah.
And Meghan said this about the ruling. While this win is precedent setting, what matters most is that we are now collectively brave enough to reshape a tabloid industry that conditions people to be cruel and profits from the lies and pain that they create. So this is kind of a big deal that the appeal.
Yeah, no, it really is, because they went all in. I mean, can you imagine how much money the Daily Mail spent on this?
No, I know.
Tons of money.
Right.
Well,
I think of how misleading, because I just finished the Katie Couric book, how misleading their headlines were and positioning her to be this evil woman, not standing up for women, blah, 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 which none of that is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely none of it. And taking so many things out of context to position people in the bad light.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they make their money, you know, salacious.
Yeah. And especially with anything, you know, royal, too.
Right. They're horrible. If
royals, media.
Women.
They've
been all over The View. Women. Every woman. Women.
Right.
They're mean to women.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, then they're very complimentary, always only on looks.
Oh, they're
always
they're it's all about. I mean,
Anyway, just that was kind of
good for her.
Yeah, that had to feel good. And I'm sure she's in for like at least a 4 or 5 day flurry of people yelling at her in columns and things across the pond.
Yeah.
No, well, they do. They just like they go after, but it sells.
It sells. The salacious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sells. Unfortunately, but
one, hating on her is like a national pastime.
Yeah, I know. No,
yeah, absolutely. One more quick thing before we run out of time here. There is a new Zorro film in the works, but it is not going to be a reboot of the Legend of Zorro, the sword fighter we know. It's going to be Zorro 2.0, and it's going to be based on a hacker that has to fight his way to beat like all the corporate. And it's a modern version of Zorro using computers and being a hacker.
Try and make a modern remake with the George Hamilton Zorro.
Yeah.
That was the Zorro.
And Antonio Banderas was Zorro too, wasn't he?
Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys. Let's see here. Let's check in your My Talk traffic right now.
She has a theory.
Who is she? Where is she? Is it a she?
Mm-hmm.
What is she doing?
Well, here's
Does she have a theory?
I do have a theory.
Does she have a theory?
I think that a lot of people, when it comes to being, have you been a good girl or a bad girl?
Okay.
I think a lot of people like to be on the naughty list.
Who are your friends? I can't believe I am. Grant.
Listen, 1 out of 4 people think they belong on the naughty list this year.
This year?
Yeah, 26% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's as naughty as like what we're saying, but just that they've been naughty and they really don't deserve any gifts. I give these 26% of adults credit for admitting that.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there a reason that they're naughty or anything?
Well, they really wanted to find out really at the heart of it. How many gifts do you buy for yourself while you're shopping for others?
Oh, all the time.
Used to be.
It's not lying.
1, 2 for me, 1 for you. Yeah. But this year, I'm not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like when I would do the Black Friday with my dad, and we've been able to do it for a couple years. I mean, he'd be like, "What do you buy 1 for every 2 for other people?" And I'm like, "Dad, I can't help it if I'm finding things for everybody."
You know what they said though? This year there weren't as good of deals.
Yeah,
because people are the supply chain is kind of a little slow, and so people aren't able to stock things. And actually, Cyber Monday was down for the first time in years.
Because they've been shopping. Well, this poll. 76% of people think they buy the best gifts for themselves, which is why 69%
of
people
what you like.
Prefer to buy their own presents.
Oh, no.
And the thing that people, the top 3, electronics, closely followed by gift cards, closely followed by jewelry.
These are the top 3 gifts people want. Mm-hmm. Electronics. I hate
But people like to treat themselves and they're willing to spend good money on themselves, including things like a brand new car, a cruise to the Caribbean, a diamond necklace.
And this was a survey done of people who have a lot of money.
Money.
This is the Forbes survey.
Self-gifting is a form of self-care.
Yes.
Well, there's the theory.
I would agree, but you know.
Okay, now this is the study of duh, but I'm bringing it today for theories because there it is. Party foul, 2 in 3 say one relative always drinks too much at a holiday gathering.
Mm-hmm. Do we even have? I don't feel like we experience that really. Do you, Grant?
No, everybody drinks equally as hard.
We don't.
There's never one guy. It's always multiple.
It depends. According to people, leaving early is the party faux pas that people don't like at family parties. People don't like when somebody starts yelling. People don't like when there's too much drinking.
Right.
And when asked about some of the embarrassing things that people do, almost always it involves drinking. Like, you know, somebody fell in the fire pit. That would have been last year because we were around fire pits.
Yeah, we were.
People don't like it when people vomit at their house or on another person or on the table or on the host.
Jeez.
No kidding.
We haven't been to these family parties.
No, we haven't.
We've never had these.
Yeah, these sound like college parties.
They do sound like college parties.
Not a family gathering.
62% of people say they've dreaded going to work the day after an office party due to embarrassment.
Well, office party is a different thing.
That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the uncle gets the top spot for enjoying too much booze. The uncles always get a bad rap. The Funkles.
The Funkles, exactly. The Funkles. Just the Funkles, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, here's now, would you believe this theory that board games and video games you love reveal how you prepare for life and work for others?
Oh, well, now tell me this one because I like this one.
Yeah, so this is from Germany. And they wonder, do people's taste in sports and video games reveal how they approach the real world? And they found that sports, board games, video games prepare people for conflict and cooperation and keep groups together. This is the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology is where I got this, just so you know my heavy credentials on this one.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so no matter how diverse the group of people is, that games are the integral way of bonding. It helps bring people together where there's conflict, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here, let's get to the meat of the story, shall we? So, let's see. Let's see.
I forgot to read this. The professional scammer took a little break today.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. So, all it means. So let's pick a board game. Let's pick a board game that you liked and that you hated. Like I hated Life.
Oh, you hated Life?
I hated Monopoly.
I hate Monopoly. Yeah.
I hated Monopoly. Okay. It took so long.
Yeah. And a game that you liked was what was a fun game that you liked?
A board game.
Yeah, board game.
Candyland.
Sorry.
Yes.
And Sorry, I like Sorry, too.
Yes, because it was fun. Everyone had equal chances of winning.
Yahtzee, I like.
Love Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm.
So their theory is that people mimic real world behavior. So if you are somebody that likes a long, more elaborate, a battleship or something like that.
Yes.
It's just more indicative of how you will work in other areas in your life that you want to be doing something that's methodical, detailed. That's the way your mind works. You and I, we liked Candyland or Sorry. You know, we're kind of looking for, we don't want to get too bogged down in any
details.
We want to always be looking for something.
Looking for the bright, shiny thing.
Yeah.
That's right in front of us.
Yeah. So
the gumdrops.
Yeah. I'm really summing up all the stuff I didn't read.
But I like the summary, you know. But I also.
But it makes sense, I guess. Like, if you're thinking about what sports you like if you're, you know, somebody who likes, like, what's a solo sport?
Well, yeah, if you're a wrestler, you're more of a. I don't like to work in groups. I like to work individually.
You did.
I was an individual sport person most of my life. And that's, I'm just not a group. I don't like to rely on other people.
That is also, like, kind of your work ethic sometimes when you've got to get something done.
I like to be alone.
That's right.
Yep.
So,
it definitely plays into it for sure.
Mm-hmm. You've solved a lot.
A lot. Do you remember the presidential fitness
award? Oh, yeah.
Tests?
Yeah.
When did they stop doing that in
school?
Great
question. I'm going to look that up.
But do you remember taking that like in maybe...
Grade school, maybe.
Grade school. It was a grade school thing. Yeah. I just wonder if kids do that anymore, the presidential fitness. I bet they don't.
I bet because
it says right here, the presidential fitness test was a national fitness testing program conducted in the United States in public middle schools and high schools from the late 50s until 2013, when it was finally disbanded and replaced with the presidential youth fitness program, which is a little less. They from what it says here,
they don't make them do as many mean things.
Yeah, they dropped down the requirements. Yeah, there was they
have to climb the rope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the rope! I was terrible at that.
Or the pegs on the wall.
Oh, yeah, it all seemed embarrassing.
How the heck?
Yeah,
pull ups are a tricky thing. Pull ups are tricky.
I don't know that I ever reached the top of the rope, and I think I got the silver. I never got a gold badge.
This is not surprising.
Yeah, no.
In athletics, me.
Weak arms.
Yeah, you do.
Bad.
They don't want people to compete, I guess.
Lori can aim.
I'm an aimer.
Lori's an aimer. She's very good at bocce ball, at, you know, bowling, at...
I'm an aimer. So you'd be a good pitcher. You'd be a good pitcher, essentially.
Oh, I did pitch.
She'd be a good pitcher.
I did pitch in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Nice. Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, you're an aimer.
Not on a... team, but in the neighborhood.
I was always letting you.
It was a mixed team, though, and they always asked me to pitch, and I loved pitching until I took a line drive in the kneecap.
Then
I became gun shy every time I throw the ball.
Me too. That's why I quit softball. I took one to the face. I took one right to my face, and I was like, I'm done.
I was a fearless and pretty good pitcher, and we just would be neighborhood kids, you know, playing in Hyde Park, and they'd be like, Lori, you pitch, you know, you're a pretty good pitcher. And I was a really proud, happy pitcher until, like, you know,
until the line drive
in the knee.
Ouch.
Oh, did that hurt? I thought.
It probably hit that right spot where it just drops you.
It just makes you feel
like your wind gets knocked out of you.
But every time I pitch, I'd crouch and cover my head. It doesn't really look good for your team to have a crouch and cover pitcher.
No, it doesn't.
Not really. No one has faith in you anymore.
No, they don't. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, so you talked yesterday about seeing Kathy
Griffin on
with Jimmy Kimmel and her voice and everything. Mm-hmm. So I watched it this morning. Mm-hmm. I hope it comes back for her because she's such a funny person.
Yeah, she was on The View too today.
Because she's so funny, and it's hard to listen to. I felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then last night, Billy Crystal was on. And so he, years ago, when he was 42, did a play on Broadway that won him a Tony called Mr. Saturday Night. And mm-hmm. he was playing at 42, a 75-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's coming. Mel Brooks suggested years ago he make it into a musical. And he's
I watched this interview.
And we saw him do his one-man show. I don't think it was Mr. Saturday Night when we saw him here.
Were you at all... Was it at all perplexing to look at his nice new hairline that he's got going on, and whatever is happening with his tan, tight face, and then his waddle?
Yeah, he had
the turkey waddle.
All right. Well,
here
was what went through my mind as I was watching it. He looked great, and he had a waddle, and I want to make an appointment to take care of mine. Was the order, Grant?
Stop!
No, I'm dead serious.
You don't have a waddle.
No, but you're supposed to do your neck before it's too late.
Okay.
And so we're looking at each other, and Grant, you're seeing me hold my neck, and I'm in the stage. I've got like a year left before it's time.
Yeah.
Before it's too late.
Well,
if anyone has a good plastic surgeon, you can send us an email.
Yeah. Well,
seriously,
we'll do some research because
it's time to maybe think about that. But I was in everything. But then I go back to how charming he is, and he is such a wonderful comedian.
Okay, I will just say I will. Now this is your brother, who, you know, he's the vengeful Italian.
Yes,
the godfather of the family.
What does he hold against him?
Billy Crystal, maybe this will have to be a vintage scandal, but I've been hesitated to do
this. Don't tell me.
It's Bruno Kirby.
Who the heck's that?
In the Three Amigos, he's the other guy. If you looked up Bruno Kirby, he's very recognizable.
Oh,
he's in When Harry Met Sally. Yeah. He's Carrie Fisher's
husband. What about it? Did they break up?
He basically rock blocked Bruno Kirby's Hollywood career.
How do you know that? The story is.
I forget if Casey watched a documentary or read a book. And so ever since then,
I don't want to know
brings it up. But I mean, you can be like, I mean, who knows what happened then? I mean, why do you have to hold it against him forever is what I'm saying. But Casey does. And we were watching the interview and he goes, yeah, he's funny. He said, but I just can't look at him the same way ever since what he did to Bruno Kirby.
That's a heck of a grudge right there.
That is my brother. Honestly,
I mean, you want him on your side, man. Because he will.
He'll hold it against you forever.
He will protect you, and you know, just everything. No one's getting away with anything.
That is so funny. He remembers that. Well, because there was a big breakup between the Anchorman guys, between
Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Yes. Yeah. And that was another big breakup.
But we didn't know they'd broken up. It was only because Adam McKay talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, do you think, is that blabbing, sharing that? Is that blabbing? That sounds judgmental to call it blabbing. Well, he shouldn't have told people about it. Do you feel that way? Is that too dirty laundry for you to know?
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he told me, but I think for Casey, this one is an old one. My goodness.
Yeah.
My brother, and Billy Crystal, you have no idea, Grant.
Oh, my God.
You have no idea.
So you want to be on his good side.
So they were best friends, and they starred in City Slickers together.
Yes, they did. That's what I was thinking. That's one of the greatest movies.
And
yes.
Feuding and falling out is a normal part of life.
We don't know all the details for sure, do we?
We do. There's lots of stories about what happened between them.
I don't want to know this because I was going to go.
And of course, they work together, and this is Spinal Tap.
Mm. I don't want to know this. Mm-hmm.
And then Harry Met Sally.
Oh, City Slickers.
And then City Slickers was the zenith of it. And the film was a sensational success. It was a $26 million movie that made almost $200 million.
That's great.
In a year that saw Home Alone and Silence of the Lambs, it was the fifth highest grossing movie in 91.
Well, I'm not going to buy the tickets right now because they're $399 to be in like the 17th row.
For what?
A Tuesday matinee for Mr. Saturday Night the Musical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had serious creative differences.
Well, that's okay.
When they did City Slickers 2 and Bruno was cut out of the thing by Billy and they, did it together.
Well, when you have creative differences, people break up, Lori.
John Lovitz replaced him.
Oh, who's fine?
I remember that now.
It was kind of scandalous.
Oh, John.
It was claimed not only did Billy refuse to work with Bruno, that many of the cronies in the industry, writers, directors, and producers wouldn't cast Bruno Kirby with a 10-foot pole. He died in 2006, and he only appeared in 5 movies after City Slickers.
Okay, well, all right. Wow. But people have creative differences.
But he ruined his career, Julia. He ruined his career.
But how do you know that he was...
It's well known. It's Hollywood legend that Billy Crystal ruined his career. Whatever happened between them...
Bruno was only in five movies.
I'm just telling you. I mean, that speaks for itself.
Yep.
He was so successful. Right. And he was so great.
I don't want to know this.
Well, now you know and you can forget it.
No, I won't because I will forget it because I like Billy Crystal.
You're not going to hold it against Billy Crystal and going to see Mr. Saturday Night. Like Casey, if I tried to get him to go see this, he'd say, no. Look what he did to Bruno Kirby. And I'd say, what did he do? And I'd have to Google it all over again. But Casey, no. He right away, Bruno Kirby. He wrecked his career.
Honest.
He remembers. He's very fond of Bruno Kirby.
Apparently. But I remember I like that guy.
I mean, he's so great in the movie. That's too bad that they had that breakup.
Well, I think there's a lot of painful creative breakups that are hard.
But do people's careers need to be ruined over it? No, Julia.
Maybe Bruno was self-exploding.
You're getting a little defensive like Casey over there. Yes. This might be your new battle.
Well, I'm just saying.
Not in a bad way.
5 movies is a lot and not very many for a guy that was at the level that he was at. And everyone in Hollywood knows, hey, you'll piss off Crystal if you hire this guy. And, at that time he was hosting lots of,
He was everywhere.
He was everywhere.
Yeah.
You have ruined my night.
Okay.
Now, not only do I have to play tennis at 9 o'clock tonight in Fridley, on the other side of the world for me, I now have a ruined night.
Well, I've made some people's nights by telling them that the Kringles are in at Trader Joe's from Racine, Wisconsin, and the beautiful cookie that won the Star Tribune. Is available for the lemon raspberry creams, or what was it called?
The lemon rosemary creams.
Available for a limited time at Lund's.
Oh.
See? All right, it's for the lemon.
So I'm going to buy some of those and a Kringle, and that's going to be my cookie exchange.
All right, Lori, then I'm all for it.
Okay.
Yay. Cynthia Baxter, that's so smart of the Star Tribune and Cynthia to get them in Lund's and Byerly.
Yes. I think they've done this before because I've bought these cookies before the winners and brought them home and told Casey, taste this. And if you like them, maybe I'll bake them. And then, of course, he eats them all. Forgets I said that. And then we move on.
Look at, but he won't forget about Bruno Tirolano or whatever the guy's name is. What was his name?
Bruno Kirby.
Oh, jeez. All right. Have a good night.
Job done. Off you go.